What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be
that. So I had a thought earlier, and it's disturbing, and because it's so disturbing, I'm going to hold it off for a few minutes at least. Because...
Well, now I can't concentrate on now, anything.
Now, like, it's sort of a, you know, I'm trying to volleyball game in my head. Well, what would make, things sort of feel good? And that is that... And we really don't talk about this as much as we probably should or could because the Bills went ahead and got really good the last few years. But all the college football business with players having the incentive to not come out for the draft, even quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
We had Ty Simpson from Alabama be offered a reported $6.5 million last week to stay in college. Not at Alabama, I think, even, but whatever. And now it's Dante Moore of Oregon,
mm-hmm.
who was the presumptive second overall pick, which would be to the Jets, who have not had a good quarterback since. Let me throw out a name. Pennington.
I was going to say, it depends on how good you think Chad Pennington was.
All right. Well, we can't really have that conversation then because we both don't know.
He was pretty good. Favre was kind of a disaster there.
All right. Well, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was good. He just wasn't good. He was great. He just wasn't very good in New York.
Mark Sanchez.
Favre.
Testaverde.
AFC title game.
Ken O'Brien.
Mark Sanchez.
Joe Namath. Richard Todd. So here were the Jets. Like, they kind of did the assignment. They got to the top of the draft. The Giants didn't. Right. Other teams didn't. Cleveland didn't know what to do. They went and won a couple games. And so it was kind of set up for them to get another possible franchise quarterback. But it's not going to be him because he's not coming out because the money is good enough in college.
Right.
Otherwise, come on. We always say about coaching jobs. Sal said this maybe the other day, and I was thinking it when he said it. Maybe it was the Jets, or the Jets don't have an opening, actually. But, like, no matter who the team is, as dysfunctional as you think, it was the Jets. This probably goes back to when the Bills played them.
And it looked so bad for Aaron Glenn. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still, I mean, it's still appealing. It's still hot. It's the NFL. It's New York. Like, you could bomb, but still be in the pool after that. Like, you could still be interesting after that. You wouldn't have to shun it just because it's the Jets. You know, some of these bad teams.
There's definitely guys out there that wouldn't shun it, but I think a guy like Ben Johnson, you know, that level of candidate, I mean, he weighed in an extra. So did Aaron Glenn. They both could have had jobs, I think, two off seasons ago and went back to Detroit and waited because maybe they didn't like the opportunities. Yeah, I don't know. We've been talking like this about college quarterbacks, I think, way prior to NIL. Whether a guy would come out because of who's at the top.
But they always do.
They almost always do. But we still have talked about it. Now there's incentive to stay. You're getting a lot of money to stay in college. $6 million for 1 year playing college football is, you know, pretty good work. But it's not an NFL contract, right? I mean, it's not $50 million guaranteed. But still, if you don't like the lay of the land, yeah. I mean, if you can make a few million bucks hoping that somebody better presents themselves, you know, you have to do your part. You have to have a year where you are still thought of as, you know, top pick worthy, right? There have been guys in history. Brian Brohm is one. Brian Brohm, remember Brian Brohm? I'm going back a long time now, but he took college football, I don't know, by storm is too strong, but he was a really hot commodity at the end of all year at Louisville. And I don't know if he had to choose whether or not to come out back then or not, but he stayed in school and then his stock went way down. So you got to play, you know, you got to show that you are still worth that level of pick. So there is, you know, and then there's always the risk of injury too. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty nice for a hotshot college player to be able to go, yeah, I'm not nuts about this.
There are a lot of those guys. Not often. I mean, even Caleb Williams, who was drafted first overall, but he was so after a more complicated season at USC.
He sounded like a better idea the year before. Right? I mean, better idea, but like it was like unbelievable can't miss Mahomes comps, and then there were more questions about him when he stayed in college that second year.
Yeah, that goes both ways. Like Burrow was nobody until he had his season at LSU, and then he was 101.
Cam Newton was a one-year wonder at Auburn and went 101. He was in junior college maybe before that or something. Like he was not a name really on the landscape that at least, I mean, I'm sure there were scouts that were paying attention to him, but like it was not, you know, it didn't reach my desk anyway, who Cam Newton was before he got to Auburn that year.
Right. Well, it's just different now. I think the bottom line, whether it's coaches, maybe it's not coaches, but the point was about quarterbacks and, you know, college quarterbacks, that they would always come out because, you know, if the Bills are in the conversation before, like pre-Allen, which they often were.
Right, this is where I thought you were going. I'm sorry. I sort of muddied the water on you, but yeah.
No, I just think like the coach's point was like it's kind of the same for this. I mean, Ben Johnson didn't know Chicago would be open, and he didn't necessarily have a bead on Caleb Williams, but he didn't want to go to Washington for whatever reason, and he waited. And, you know, it worked out, right? Like, that worked out.
Right.
But with quarterbacks, like, in the pre-Allen era, it would never have – the Bills, like, never got as high as the second overall pick, right? They got to 3 or 4. But still, like, if there were a quarterback in the pool and you needed one, you would just, you know, you would settle, you would talk yourself into it. Like, I can't draft a – linebacker here. I have to get. Right.
You would expect that player would be available to you.
And now, you've got Dante Moore, Ty Simpson, who are just like not going to bother.
Right. If we were still living NFL. That life, like if Josh Allen hadn't happened, if they picked Josh Rosen and that washed out, and we're still wandering the desert here, maybe the Bills would have tried Aaron Rodgers on for a year or something. Who knows what could have happened? We'd be stressing about guys not wanting to come here, for sure. Because that's, I mean, if you're the New York Jets right now, you just found out you're not drafting Dante Moore. And there's probably a lot of Jets fans that were pretty excited about that, even with, you know, them sort of flaming out in the playoff. I mean, whatever, they made it to the semifinals. It's not exactly a flame out, but.
Oregon.
Oregon, right.
Yeah, you're just on the come. Like, you don't even know who the guy is. You can't know. You don't even know what you're getting. But you're excited. Like, you want, it's not about the fans as much as it's about the team. Like, the team. When you get to the Jets' point, where they've been for a long time, but you get to the point where you're drafting at the top of the draft, you know, you just want to be able to sell something. And some of these teams have, like, the Jets with Rodgers and even Justin Fields, who's much younger, but, like, he was still like sort of a little bit kind of dried up as a player.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to be able to sell something. And the last time the Jets did the rookie dance, that was Zach Wilson, and that wasn't everybody's favorite idea, but at least, you know, you sort of get some mileage out of that, and maybe it can work. I mean, Allen was obviously, we know, I mean, controversial as a prospect, and that worked out to the absolute moon. So anyway, the Jets are not going to be able to draft Dante Moore. If there's someone, or Ty Simpson.
Nor is anyone else, right?
Nor is anyone else. If there's someone else, well, The more interesting thing about this offseason for me is not that the Bills are there yet, of course, and this probably won't apply to them. It's not the coaches, it's the quarterbacks. Because, like, you told me that Kirk Cousins was going on TV this week.
Yeah.
Like, this is good for him. Dante Moore going to Oregon.
Oh, for sure.
Like, yeah. Every one of these.
Michael Penix getting hurt is good for him. Probably. Well, like, if he wants to stay in Atlanta anyway, but yeah.
He's under contract there, isn't he?
Right, yeah.
Every one of these kind of we laugh at them. We make fun of them. These rookie or the, sorry, these veterans who we just think are proven to be bad. Well, maybe there's the landscape is shifting is all. That's, I mean, we know. That's all I'm saying is that some of these veteran, Mitch Trubisky is somebody who maybe ends up spin the wheel and maybe he ends up like being interesting to somebody because they can't draft the blue chip rookies right. this year. I mean, the Raiders will. I saw it at DraftKings, Mendoza is minus 8,000 to be the first pick. It's January 14th. The draft is more than 3 months away.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, minus 8,000 is what they're going to need from you. $800 to win 10.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go ahead and not bet that.
No. I mean, find somebody else that he goes out for a jog and hurts himself or something. Then, I mean, I'm not actively doing this. I don't think you can bet the draft here anyway. We know that through the years. Well, good luck to the Jets.
I don't want my name on good luck to the Jets.
All right.
I would sooner say to hell with the
Let's
Jets.
Let's move on. I thought of a Denver thing that I thought I would put to you.
Okay.
So you have this thing where you dredge up reasons for hating on their coach, whoever the Bills are playing. This is an easy one.
I've got my feet on the coffee table this week.
This is an easy one.
Bounty Gate. I'm done.
Peyton is not likable at all.
No. Did you see the bit with the reporter yesterday?
No.
A young-sounding reporter asked him a question about Dre Greenlaw coming back. I guess he's been hurt. He was limited in practice yesterday, so he missed whatever. They're on bye, but I guess he's missed some time. So he's coming back, or at least they're hopeful that they're going to get him back. And the guy... slash kid, I don't know what, it just sounded like a very young reporter. I don't think it was a kid, but you know, 20s maybe sounding. Phrased the question like, how important is it going to be to get Dre Greenlaw back and have him attacking downhill this week because you're playing the Bills and you know they've got a good running game? And Peyton very derisively just got to, what do you know about attacking downhill? Like basically, what are you talking about? You're just trying. He didn't say this, but like the whole tone of it was, you're trying to sound like you know football, like you know ball. You're trying to be I'm a ball knower. You're not a ball knower. What do you know about it? Yeah, it'll be. And he eventually gets to. It'll be good to have Dre back, but he had to like admonish the guy for using this phrasing. That, you know, I don't know if it comes off like Peyton felt like the kid hadn't earned the right to use the football phrasing.
Yeah.
And I mean, just hit him in the face with a bat, Peyton. Just what a jerk. There's no need for that. I don't know if there's history with this guy, reporter or what, but it was just such a jerky thing to do. No need for it whatsoever. Just peak condescension. Man, I hate that guy. So easy.
Isn't it nice to not have to work
for
it this week?
I mean, I really dug deep last week. I was proud of my work on Liam Cohen last week.
At some point,
sound effects and everything.
Right. At some point by Friday, you're going to get to the visor, and I don't know how I'm going to react, but I did sort of think about that this morning and chose not to wear a visor today. Got a haircut, though, actually, as well. No visor. Should I just sort of spurn the visor look for the rest of the week because of Sean Payton?
I mean, that would be a commitment.
You know who you do love, though?
Who do I love?
John Elway.
I loved John Elway, the player. I haven't been nuts about him since he really stopped playing.
I watched the documentary about him.
Yeah.
The Netflix, wasn't it?
Yeah, there is.
It's all right.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there. I read a review that said they left a lot of stuff out that would be typical, you know, like that maybe could have been good, juicy, but, you know, they don't go there because editorial control or whatever.
Unauthorized, or it's an authorized
biography? I think it's an authorized joint, yeah.
Biopic?
Yeah.
On Elway?
So I haven't gotten there yet.
I was never an Elway guy.
Yeah, I loved him as a player.
He was your favorite.
He was my first favorite player that wasn't on the Bills.
Hmm.
When he showed up, like, I liked guys on the Oilers and whatever, but like Elway, I got excited when the Broncos were on in the four. It was just the 4 o'clock window, not 4:25. When back when we were kids, anytime they were on, you know, prime time, which really was only Monday Night Football.
That was at 9:00.
Or the 4 o'clock game, like Elway. I want to watch. Like I became a big fan of his, the way he played. But as a like, I don't know, as an executive, I haven't really, you know, whatever. I'm still not. I don't feel attached to him anymore. That's for sure.
Is anybody closer to Elway historically than Josh Allen? Elway, big arm, big shoulders, wanted to run, could beat you with his legs.
Yeah.
Was not Montana, was not Mahomes, was not somebody that was just like sort of pretty and accurate, like to the hilt. He was more of a brute, Elway. Who's been closer to Elway? I mean, also great. Like that, there are a lot of guys that maybe have wanted to play like that, but just can't do it, can't last.
Yeah.
But Allen is always Newton with Allen because like the touchdowns are just record level stuff and like just a beast as a quarterback. And, you know, the Newton point is often about how the shelf life is. Like, maybe he doesn't have the shelf life. And this has already been a conversation we've had as recently as last, or this week.
Sure.
Monday. Just how, if he's compromised as a runner at all at this point of his life.
How much does that damage, you know, what he's capable of? I think significantly.
Elway had Cunningham, or Cunningham was maybe a little bit later, but he had somebody who, I know this is going back a long time, sorry, but Cunningham was super fast and long. I mean, tall and skinny and was a dangerous runner, I mean, to put it mildly, for a quarterback. Elway was more like Allen is, where around you, through you, feet, you know, and also heady, I think. I don't think Elway, like analytics, we'll talk to Aaron Schatz later this week. I don't know if Elway really measures up to the all-time greats, but, I mean, he won championships. Yeah. And had a distinctive style.
He was a great watch.
Sort of ahead of his time.
That's why I got to admire him as much as I did. He was just fun to watch. He played, it felt like he played differently than everybody else in that era. The thing that I think is different now because of the era, and I might be, you know, it's certainly possible that I don't remember accurately, you know, what was going on in the mid-80s or late-80s, but I don't remember lots of designed, any kind of designed running plays for Elway. No. It was just, he ran out of, you know, scramble and would get downfield and was certainly a very good runner. But teams back then did not, I don't think, have their quarterbacks run on purpose. Like there wasn't, hey, let's run a quarterback, maybe a little
draws.
Quarterback draw, maybe.
Yeah.
But around right end or anything like that, like we've seen with Allen. I don't think that really existed.
No, I agree with that. It probably existed in the 60s.
Yeah, right.
But I think Elway's play, in my mind's eye, is a quarterback draw. He's in the shotgun. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are these plays in the drive against Cleveland.
Yep.
Like there, that's kind of his.
That is right. That's
his
right.
Running play.
That's about peak. That's peak quarterback run. Designed runs was draws for him. Steve Young probably same thing. Some of that, but. Anyway, yeah, he was a great runner, great athlete, and yeah, big arm, and could just throw it a mile.
Well, the Bills have really never had a bad or a big loss to Denver. You know, two playoff games, two wins, 92 AFC Championship, and then last year. It's not like they've owned Denver.
They clinched the division there in 20.
Yeah,
first division title in a long
Kumerow,
time. Yep.
Singletary. They don't really have
Bill Fichtner.
Fichtner called our show.
He was the first caller on that postgame show.
Yes, and he won't leave me alone since. It went so well. The guy will not. Because I brought up the West Wing to him, and he just loves to talk about that. Christopher Mulready, by the way, is the name of the character on the West Wing.
Trading DMs or something? Or is you guys got digits?
I don't know. Right? It won't stop. The Tebow game. Tebow here late in the season, and the Bills blow Denver out.
Yeah.
Just like the Bills Broncos history is mostly Bills, I think. In the mid-80s, when Denver was it, Buffalo wasn't. And then the Bills rose up and beat Elway in 91.
Right.
They lost a game or two here and there, but really, I don't know. What are the Bills to the Broncos? Or what are the Bills to Broncos fans? What are they aspiring to here this week?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is it revenge? Is it last year? How excited could Broncos fans have been about last year's playoffs? Like, okay, we made it.
Right. But first rookie quarterback. All right. You know, maybe you feel like this is a sign we're going to be here a while. So good. But yeah, I don't think you were, you know, expecting to come in here and beat the Bills.
Objectively. No, if it happens, it happens.
Right. But. Right. So it probably wasn't too deflating to suffer that loss. You know, easy for me to say, but you know.
Well, it's a little bit like last week's conversations with Jacksonville and how Patrick Mahomes not being in the playoffs is not only a perceived advantage for Josh Allen. It would be one for everybody in the AFC playoffs. And here's Bo Nix in year two. I mean, the guy played in huge games in college. He was in the playoffs last year as a rookie. Now he's got the one seed, and he's at home against Josh, right? Like, this is awesome. And the opportunity point. I made this point last week about Lawrence and how I didn't think he would get scared, and I think I was half right. I wouldn't want to swear to that there was none of that because Lawrence, I think, wimped out on a couple plays. And he can zip it. I mean, there were plays in this game, the Washington touchdown pass, where Lawrence, you know, you see the arm talent and you could see how good, why he is a first overall pick. Nix is different. Like, he's not the perfect body. He, you know, 6'6". And he gets Allen a second year in a row. The Broncos can't stop playing the Bills in the playoffs under Bo Nix. Mahomes isn't there. And they're 1 week closer. And they're not leaving home. This is all just a point about incentives, I guess, which don't have to really tell you anything. Anyway, I just can't wait. John Elway. Sean Payton. Randy Gradishar.
Wow.
Carl Mecklenburg.
Tom Jackson. Steve Atwater.
Ricky Natil.
Hang on, we are stealing the morning show's
Bill Bryan,
here, which is like name
we're
some,
remembering
name
some Broncos.
Some guys.
Well, remember they stole some it from somebody else. But Steve Sewell.
Well, that's a good one.
Go long on the Broncos. Saturday, 4:30. We will talk to Benjamin Albright today about the matchup and also what's going on in the coaching ranks around the NFL. The news about Dante Moore staying at Oregon is interesting to the teams at the top of the draft, like the Jets, but not so much to us, especially this week. Sal Capaccio at 5. The Sabres are home to the Flyers tonight. That's a 7:30 game. 6:30, Paul Hamilton. We will hear from their new assistant GM on the pregame show tonight, Mark Bergevin, former Canadiens general manager, Lindy Ruff. And also, of course, as always, some locker room sound. Thanks for listening. Your thoughts on Saturday and where we're at with the Bills. Can Curtis Samuel, off of a 7-reception season, make a difference in this playoff push? We'll talk about that and more as we continue. Lines are open. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Improved, definitely improved. He was good last year. I mean, it's hard to be good as a rookie. Very few are. He was one of the, what I thought was one of the few that I've been around that I just, you know, could qualify as good as rookie year. And obviously they made the playoffs last year and then what he's been able to do this year and the way that they've developed him. And, you know, Coach Payton's got a history of doing that with quarterbacks. So, you know, he's definitely playing high-level football.
Sean McDermott on Bo Nix. Younger than me. Which means, of course, he's younger than you, Bo Nix.
Not Sean Payton.
Sean Payton is, oh, I want to guess, between us.
You don't think he's older than me? I think he's older than me. I'm 60. I'm going to guess Peyton is 63.
That visor is an attempt to make him look younger
than
he is?
Yes, that's the whole thing. That's why
62!
That's why everyone has a problem with you wearing the visors.
Right. Can't wear shorts. Can't wear a visor. I'm a jerk. And what am I trying to hide? What am I trying to prove? I mean, I only say my age on the show pretty much every week. 62. Good job. You win. Patrick Sean Payton. Sorry, Christopher Parker Sean Payton. I misread it. That's his name.
Are there any Christopher Parkers hiding on the Denver roster? We're counting on you.
Somebody out there could dig that up. Parker Washington did have a good game.
Oh, he definitely did.
And he left with a head injury, but guess what? Of course he came back.
He not only left with a head. Did you see him?
I did. Like, I tweeted it. Nobody else was talking about it.
He fell down.
He fell down, and he did this weird sort of jog move,
yeah.
And then he stayed in.
Yeah.
And, you know, those things are not always linear, right?
I mean, That's right. I mean, you could feel it in the moment and then clear the protocol and, you know, whatever.
But it was very strange looking.
Yeah.
It happened.
It looked a little scary. Yeah.
Like, what is this? Why is he down?
Live, it was one of those things. I feel like the camera was moving away from him as he fell, but there was no one around him, and you could see him sort of wobbling, and then the camera moved back to where the ball was or the pile or I don't know what. But, yeah, I saw replays later, like, damn, that looked pretty serious.
And the Jaguars didn't do what the Bills always do when this happens, is to pick somebody up immediately. So there is not this moment where like,
no one was around him. He was far enough away from the play. Like, Bean Bishop hit heads, I think is what happened. And the play was a few yards upfield from where he was. And so his teammates were around where the ball was, I think. And he was sort of separate.
We saw it.
Yeah. It's hard to miss.
Nobody on the Jaguars saw it. We saw it.
Well, the concussion spotter must have saw it because they did evaluate him for a head injury.
Not right away. Like, that's what's the point of that person?
Did he stay in the game right then? After that? Wow, I didn't realize that.
A few plays, I think.
I didn't realize that.
It wasn't until the next series, because I tweeted it, like, here's what Washington did. And then later, CBS announced that he was being evaluated for a concussion. And I said, well, the broadcast didn't say anything. And people are like, wrong. Yes, they did. Like, not for several minutes.
Right.
So it wasn't right away. Anyway, they're done.
Now we've got that straight.
Jack is with us. Hello, Jack.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure. You're welcome.
Yeah, so you guys were talking about historical matchups. And a couple weeks ago, before the last game at the stadium, I did a whole list of every single game that I've been to. So to get to the point, my first ever game was 2011. It was the Christmas Eve game, Bills-Broncos. Tim Tebow, I think, threw three or four interceptions. Leotis McKelvin had a punt return touchdown. Just an awesome experience that I had there at the Ralph. But then kind of transitioning into that, I wanted to know your guys' thoughts on the punt game, or punt return game, sorry. I feel like we've kind of just ignored it in recent years. You know, we used to have like Deontay Hardy and Isaiah McKenzie kind of returning.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just sure, I feel like we're kind of losing some value by just letting the ball bounce or fair catching it. But I'll hang up and let you know or hear your thoughts.
Well, they really haven't had it. I don't think about it a lot, but they've not really had a threat there. And I mean... As much Deontay Hardy helped win them the division when he was here. He had a huge punt return against Miami. So it's not like it's a non-factor, but I don't mind that they don't devote a roster. They had been. Brandon Codrington was this. He was a return specialist. And for whatever reason, they lost faith in that idea, lost faith in him, and have pretty much gone to, I mean, they're not exactly a punt catcher, but they trust Shakir to field the ball. And, you know, he's shifty enough in the open field, but he's not come close to breaking anything in the punt return game. So it's sort of a non-entity, really, on the Bills, I think. We'll see. Maybe if Hardman gets activated, brought up to the roster, maybe they try that because that's a different sort of returner. I don't know. The one game he got, he fielded two and flubbed one. And that was the end of that. And he got hurt, and they never really tried it out again. So I don't know if they'll throw him in there in a playoff game. My guess is they wouldn't. It would still be Shakir, even if Hardman's on the roster.
I have no take on this. I don't understand why teams ever field punts anymore. Just let it bounce. The risk of a return, or the reward of a return versus the risk of a fumble or a penalty, I'll just pass. I don't need anybody back there. If I want to block a punt, this is Kevin Kelly, the Arkansas coach. I'll just rush everybody. Nobody ever touches a punt against me. or when you're punting to me. I'll just let you kick it as far as you want. Tom is next. Hi, Tom.
Good point, Mike. How you guys doing? After Dante Hall and the Chiefs being a punt returner with a he was like the Pac-Man out there. I mean, there's no guys left out there that do that type of stuff. I don't see it anyways. A couple points here. I was listening to Denver stations this morning. And
why? Why, Tom? It's an obsession. Why would you do that?
Well, I'm obsessed.
What's the fun of that?
Accurate. Just to hear what they had to say. But they do not want to. They did not want to play the Bills.
Who didn't? The hosts?
The Broncos, according to the hosts. They wanted to play San Diego, obviously. And the thing that made me start to think was, you got Josh Allen here, right? If I just picture the Bills going into a stadium and another team, and you're playing against Josh, good freaking luck, you know? I mean, I'd be scared to hell to play him, and that's the way the feeling is, I think, around the league with a lot of these teams. And
do you think Jacksonville was scared?
Yeah, I do.
I don't.
I think every team, no.
Did you watch the game? I mean, did they play like they were afraid of him? I mean, they couldn't win. They didn't win.
But who
are we talking about? Are we talking about radio people? Are we talking about fans? Or are we talking about players? Players are not scared. Players are going to love it. Like the Denver Broncos defensive players, they have numerous stars. This is great for them. Like this is what a game, what a moment.
Mike, I think it's about the fans, actually, to be honest with you.
Well, that's very different.
Yeah, it is. And that's the way I'm looking at it. But, but yeah, it was really interesting listening to them. They really wanted San Diego, and they're bummed to be playing against.
Well, sure. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, if you're the one seed, here's your opportunity. You should get to choose who you play. That's had its moment this week and even last week.
Who would Denver pick?
Right. There's no way they would pick the Bills out of the pile. I don't think. Unless I just don't think they would.
That's close though.
I think I would want to avoid that quarterback. But yeah, Houston's got the defense, and you know there's downsides to any matchup, but
I think a team like Denver, so Houston is scary in its own way. They played Houston, Denver, and it was close. New England is good. If this is hypothetical, they could pick from any of the three. They can't pick like the Bears,
a team that's out. Yeah, right. They can't pick
out.
They can't pick the Chargers. Right?
They can't pick the Los Angeles Chargers. So I don't know. I feel the same way as I did last week. And Allen gave us one more game to remember forever. This will not be a game we remember forever if they lose here this week, because it'll just be another wild card game where they didn't play Mason Rudolph, I guess, but they, you know,
right,
whatever. They broke the streak of years where they hadn't won a playoff game on the road. He has been so good, and he seems indestructible. I'm Denver, bring it on. I think if I'm Allen, bring it on.
Sure.
But if I'm Denver, like, this is my stock and trade. Like, getting home, and I'm the home team in this game. I want this. I don't know. Like, maybe I would pick the Texans, I guess, if I were picking from the three. Could I pick the Texans? Maybe I would do that. But I'm no way. If I'm the Broncos, am I like scared?
Yeah, I don't think players, and I don't know. I think Tom tried to clarify there. I don't think these whatever shows he's listening to were saying that the hosts were saying the Broncos players are afraid.
But who cares anyway?
But as a fan, fans, of course, fans want the easy. What did we do last week? For me, anyway. Jacksonville's the hardest matchup. That's not what I wanted. That's not ideal. I don't know that that meant I was scared of them. I tried to make sure. And probably, I'm not saying I don't think the Bills can win. I just think if I got to pick, this is the least favorable matchup. And I would totally understand if a Bronco fan, if their choices were the Bills. By the time the Chargers and Patriots were playing, their choices were the Bills or the Chargers. Of course, you'd rather play the Chargers. They can't block anybody. They scored 6 points or whatever they did. Like, of course, you'd rather have played them. Anybody would have rather played them.
I know, totally. Like, what is this to say? All right, have you been to Denver?
Yes. Yes, just last
Red
spring.
Red Rocks. You went to Red Rocks.
Red Rocks, yeah. So, Denver. I mean, we Golden is about 40 minutes outside of town. That's where we stayed. I have not spent time in Denver. I've driven from the airport to Golden twice because we stayed in Golden both times we flew out there. One time we flew out there to visit Owen when he was in Albuquerque playing junior hockey, and we flew to Denver and drove to Albuquerque.
That's a drive.
Yeah, it was like 4 hours. We split it up.
4 hours is all?
Yeah.
From Denver to Albuquerque? Oh, wow.
I think.
I've never been to New Mexico. So that,
4.5, 5
I would have guessed like 10.
Yeah, no, it's like half a day. Or like, you know, whatever. If a day's drive is 8 hours. It's about half that. Yeah, not bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love it. I should do that.
Yeah, I highly suggest.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Beautiful. We didn't coming back when we had to leave Albuquerque to get back to Denver. We took the interstate, I-40, I think it is. But going from Golden to Albuquerque, we went through the mountains the whole time. We just like took, you know, two lane roads, and it was
one of
the greatest drives of my life.
Denver to Albuquerque is 4 hours. All right, 6:20.
Yeah,
Google says 6:20.
Right.
I've ridden with you though.
6:20.
It's still less than I would have guessed.
6:20 for me is 5.5.
Oh well, oof.
So.
And you go through Santa Fe.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
We stopped for lunch in Santa Fe.
You go through Las Vegas, New Mexico, apparently.
I don't remember that.
There's a Las Vegas, New Mexico. Garden of the Gods, I've been there. Garden of the Gods, Pikes Peak, been to Coors Field, loved Coors Field, did not drive in or out of Denver. Remember last year, was it, or 2 years ago, flying to Seattle with my family, we went through Denver, and that was my call. I'm very particular when it comes to like flights, and I didn't want to go through Charlotte or some place, or like I wanted direct line.
Right.
I wanted to make sense.
Right. You want to go south and then west. Right.
Buffalo to Denver, super clear, fun, gentle, fine flight. And when you fly into Denver from here, as some of you listening are probably about to do in a few days, you don't really get to the city at all. You're just
way out. Yeah.
And you're not even into the mountains. You don't see the city, the skyline, anything. You're not even really there yet. So then, you know, oh, this is the best. This is exactly what I drew up. Here we are in the Denver airport. And now it's off to Seattle. And we get on the plane to Seattle. And it's like, I don't know anything about flying a plane, but like right up through the mountains, and it's a washing machine. Like in the first half an hour or 20 minutes of that flight are like, I hope we don't crash into a mountain. They know not to do that, right?
I think they try to avoid that.
Windows up there. They have maps and radar.
Yeah.
But like flying into Denver from the east was very different than flying out to the west.
I think I'm doing that in April because we're going to Montana.
Okay.
Me and my wife are going to Montana, and I think we're flying to Denver on the way out.
It's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a great city. Coors Field. I just went there the one time, and I still can picture it. And the Rockies are never good. It's never about that. But just like sitting in right field looking to the scoreboard above left field and then the mountains behind that, it's unique. I mean, where else are you going to get that? So really cool. Well, good for you, anybody out there who's going to this game. Enjoy. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Speaking of Denver, Benjamin Albright from Denver will join us coming up at 4. Sal Capaccio at 5. The Sabres home to Philadelphia tonight. Pregame at 6:30 for a 7:30 game. This is
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.